Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth the man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flock, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of the time, Cain brought forth some of the fruit of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why are your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So I am a firm believer that you are who you hang around. I also believe that you are what you watch, you are what you listen to. Those things sink into your spirit. So I've been doing some deconstructing on what's in my life, and I've been evaluating what I'm allowing to enter my life without even noticing that particular thing is there. And honestly, these thoughts has come from reading the Boundaries book. And I've been checking out what's actually in my life and seeing what actually belongs to be there, what belongs. And for the most part, I've already paid close attention to what I let in my life. But I did notice that I have no filter on movies that I watch. Like, anything goes. I watch anything. And if you watch specific type of movies long enough, it'll start to affect your character. So, like, I love watching suspenseful movies. And I've recently asked someone to describe me using one word, and they said suspenseful. And I said, "Suspenseful? Like, that's it?" And they said, "Yeah, suspenseful. With the twist at the end." And I decided that I should put a wall up on what I watch. So now I have Disney Plus, and I apologize, Pastor Hannah, but I tried to watch Narnia, the movies that C.S. Lewis wrote. But what's a nice way I could say this? I did like them. Then I came across Star Wars, and I figured it'd be pretty cool to finally understand all the Star Wars geeks when they say, "May the Force be with you." So I started watching Star Wars, and I became extremely interested in the whole franchise. Like, I now have a man crush on Luke Skywalker. I'm utterly amazed by the Star Wars story and how they were able to create such a long saga with mostly the same cast for over 40 years. And I'll be honest, I am here to tell you how much I love Star Wars. So for those of you who don't know Star Wars, anything about it, and I keep it short because the time, but it's a space movie, and it's a galactic war happening. The entire galaxy is at war. The Senate turns evil and forms an empire that is secretly taking over the galaxy. And there is also a rebellion that sees that the Senate is becoming a dictator. So the rebellion, they fight against the empire. Now, whether you are a Star Wars fan or not, everyone knows Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker. Darth Vader is with the Empire, and Luke Skywalker is with the Rebellion. The intriguing part is they both possess this power called the Force. Now, Darth Vader possesses the dark side of the Force, and Luke possesses the light side of the Force. Everyone, and what I've noticed is everyone starts with the light side, but with possessing that Force, that power, it's unavoidable that the dark side will call for that person. And it depends on that person to dwell in the light and not to fall into temptation of the dark. And I overanalyze movies sometimes, but Star Wars spoke to the spiritual warfare that we go through every day. That concept of the movie, like, I don't want to take Genesis 4 out of context, but that concept of the movie made me instantly think about Cain killing his brother Abel. And no, we haven't gone to the extreme of Cain, at least I hope not, but sometimes we take it to other places. When we let ungodly thoughts linger in our mind, we are entertaining it, and it is becoming more of a reality that these thoughts may actually happen. With everything in our lives, we must stay in heavenly places. And this is something I practice, to stay in the heavenly place so I won't get caught in temptation. And I have three principles that I try to follow to stay in these places. And my first principle is guard what pours into me. It's why I'm watching Star Wars. There's nothing going on in Star Wars to tempt me. There's no aggressive hatred going on. There's no sex scenes. Even the dark side doesn't show too much darkness. It's a Disney movie. The second principle is spiritual friendships. It's vital to keep godly people in your life. I'm a big fan of small groups. I seek out those relationships until I get what I need. I need people that will challenge me in my faith, push me to read scripture, ask me about my prayer life. I'm just eager for it. Like, if someone in this room right now is a prayer warrior, like, I want to pray with you because I want what you have. I'm not saying that, so I'm really big on small groups, and I'm not saying that everyone in small groups are angels. In fact, none of them are, but with the power of that community, they can help you fight off some of the battles you are facing. A lot of us try to go day to day dependent on our own spirituality, but we need friends that hold us accountable. One of the reasons why I have a man crush on Luke, not the youth pastor, Luke Skywalker. He's more attractive. Luke never entertained thoughts from the dark side because he stayed connected. Luke asked his master, "How am I to know?" And I quote, "How am I to know the good side from the bad side?" And his master Yoda responded in such a leadership mentality. He said, "You will know when you are at calm, at peace, passive." We have a lot of desires, and if we're not too careful, those desires can become dark. Friendships has been a solid foundation for me. And if I'm honest, some of these principles, I just thought this is something to share, but probably not here at the Methodist Church. Because if I'm honest, the first time I ever came here, everyone is so nice. Everyone just seems so spiritually mature. And when you have a group like that, sometimes it's easy for those people that don't have that to get lost or to or to the point where you don't notice them. You don't notice that someone needs that help. So that's why I'm very aware of my surroundings. After church on Sunday, I hang around, I look around, I see who's alone, who's not really connected with people. I just had a talk with a guy Saturday about he needed more community. And I think the church here does a great job at it, but he don't know how to look for it himself. So that's why I don't feel like this is something I should keep to myself, you know? Even if maybe it's someone in here that don't know how to look for it. And if you are here, I encourage you to talk to someone that's here and get connected. And maybe you are one of those people that's well connected. You pray, you read. I just encourage you to seek those who are lost. My third principle would be keep God in your mouth. Praying and reading. So yesterday I heard Pastor Dave and Hannah talking about when Dave was in high school, something about the first day of school, there were always fights. And it made me think about my high school and all the fights that used to happen. And a lot of the times I would hear, before a fight, I would hear someone say, "Keep my name out your mouth." And it would be like in those aggressive ways, like one time I was just sitting there and I watched this girl walk up to this guy clapping like, "Keep my name out your mouth." And it was just so aggressive. But the thing about God is he won't his name in our mouth. He's always ready to talk to us. He wants us to call on him in Jesus' name. And I try to stay in heavenly places, especially as a father. And my daughter, Mora, she loves to climb in my bed at night and talk to me while I'm trying to sleep. And I tell her all the time, "Mora, it's bedtime. You need sleep, I need sleep." But she just keeps talking. So I decided to start ignoring her and fake like I'm asleep. And she'll keep talking, then she'll realize, like, "Daddy's not saying anything." And sometimes she'll just text, she'll be like, Dad, are you asleep?" And I just ignore her. And she's five, so she's kind of clever. She would be quiet for like 2 minutes, and then because she know I'm ignoring her, and then she would say, "Dad, I love you." And my natural instincts are to say, "I love you too." It's just natural for me to say that when I hear it. And as soon as I say, "I love you too," she fires up another conversation. And I firmly have to tell her, "Go to sleep." But I have my moments when I'm in bed and I say, "God, I love you." And just like that, he fires up a conversation in my heart. I don't have to worry about how late it is. He's always willing to talk. I go to bed with God on my tongue. When I lay in my bed, I talk to God. That's when he gives me the most comfort. He reassures me that I am his, that I can rest in his promises. Pray. Talk to God about everything. Philippians 4:6. "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer, make your requests known to the Lord." Thank you.
God desires for us to live in the light. seek to follow after him in our community and in our practices. Jesus showed us how to do that when he lived in community with his disciples, as he taught and as he healed, as they traveled together. And on that night, when he knew he was going to be arrested and tried and crucified, he took bread, and he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, and it's given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then later, when supper was over, he took the cup, and he gave thanks to God, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for each and every one of you, that you might receive forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Eternal God, we ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here, on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, till Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Here in our church, we practice an open table of communion. That means that we don't believe you need to be a member of this church or any church to receive communion with us this evening. We just ask that you come forward with a heart ready to receive the grace of Jesus Christ. We receive communion by intinction. That means you'll be given a piece of the bread and ask to lightly dip it in the cup. Receive both the bread and the juice at the same time. We do have a gluten-free option available if you prefer that. And I'll invite you all to come as you are ready.
Lord, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us. We thank you for just being with us throughout the day, throughout the week, covering us in your spirit, giving us your peace, your love. Lord, we pray that you continue to pour out your spirit on us. Lord, we forgive you for any dark thoughts that we have, anything that's unlike you. We want to be more in the image of you, Lord, Father. We pray that you give us the strength to be more like you, to carry out your name, be an image of your love, Lord, Father. We pray for healing for anyone that is sick, that needs healing, physical pain. We know you are a Father that can do it. And Lord, we just glorify your name. And I pray that everyone who needs community, relationships, that you provide those needs, Lord Father. In your heavenly name, we pray. Amen.